Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Now more than ever, Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price, you want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's, we help, you save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at lowes.com/lowest price guarantee.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
True crime today.
This is the ongoing story of a small Idaho town and its residents, a tightly knit community that hasn't seen a murder since 2015, an environment where one thought they could feel safe and secure until a quadruple homicide stole the lives of four young souls on a mid-November evening, leaving far more questions than answers. Where will the investigation lead, and how do we get there? This is the University of Idaho Murders podcast. Four killed for what?
Welcome to the podcast. Thank you for listening. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts just to not miss any episodes of our program, conversations, and breaking updates as we have them. On this episode, I thought it was due time that we do another rundown of the timeline of events, because the last time we did a timeline, it was more than a month ago, and so many more pieces to the puzzle have come into play in terms of perspective of what was happening when, especially with the probable cause affidavit being released the other week. I thought for those of you who are new to listening to this, who are trying to get caught up on this case and understand what is all going on here, this could be a place to start and get all of the background through one listening. If you've already been following this from the beginning, this is information you already know. So feel free to skip this episode, because that is the purpose of it. It's here for individuals who want to get caught up and learn what brought us up to where we're at this day. So we're going to jump into that right now, starting on Saturday, November 12th. Of course, what we're talking about here is the horrible evening where four students were slain in Moscow, Idaho. Ethan Chapin, Madison Mogan, Zena Kernodle, and Kaylee Gonzalez. Court documents, including that 18-page affidavit, was released on January 5th, reveal how police zeroed in on their suspect, Brian Koberger, and we're going to integrate that information into this timeline today. So let's start where it all begins on Saturday, November 12th of 2022. Gonzalez and Mogan, lifelong best friends, they went out to the Corner Club bar in Moscow, Idaho, according to the Moscow police. And understand, Moscow's not that big of a town. It's a college town, population about 25,000 people. It has not seen a crime, it has not seen a homicide since 2015. It's the type of town where you go into and for the most part, you feel safe, you feel welcomed, tight-knit community. It's not a metropolis with, you know, a high rate of crime or danger by any means. So these kids are starting out, are in their college lives and are very much starting out their adult lives in a very, statistically speaking, safe environment. Meanwhile, Chapin and Kernodle, who were dating, went to a Sigma Chi house on Saturday night. So you have the four victims going to two separate places that evening. Two of them to the Corner Club bar, two of them to a party down the way. There were two other roommates in the house that night who survived the attack, and they are not considered suspects in any way, shape, or form. And we later learned that one of them actually had a moment of seeing the suspect that evening. We'll get to that further down into the timeline. Then we get onto Sunday, November 13th. This is the same night, but after midnight. Around 1:40 a.m., Gonzalez and Mogan seen on the video at Grub Truck, which is a local food vendor, and used a private individual to get a ride home, getting back at about 1:45 a.m. The private ride was something connected with the university and the sororities there to ensure that kids got home safely. And the driver, not considered a suspect whatsoever, and also did not see much either. Simply got them back home safely, got home with their food. Chapin and Kernodle got home about 1:45 a.m., according to police. Chapin did not live at the house, but was sleeping over with his girlfriend that night. So all in all, a very normal night in a college town on a Saturday into a Sunday. Police believe the murders unfolded between 4 a.m. and 4:25 a.m. That's according to the released affidavit, probable cause affidavit, those documents. Kernodle got a DoorDash order at the house at about 4 a.m., according to the affidavit. One of the surviving roommates said she woke up around 4 a.m. from what sounded like Gonzalez playing with her dog, according to the affidavit. I'm sure something very normal to hear in a house that you're sharing with several other people. A short time after, the roommate said she heard someone she thought was Gonzalez say something to the effect of, "There's someone here," the document said, but that could have been Kernodle on her phone because records show she was on TikTok at about 4:12 a.m., according to the affidavit. The roommate said she looked out of her bedroom but did not see anything when she heard the comment about someone being in the house, the document said. She opened her door a second time when she heard what she thought was crying coming from Kernodle's room. The roommate then said she heard a male voice say something to the effect of, "It's okay, I'm going to help you," according to the documents. The roommate said she opened her door again when she heard the crying, and she saw a man in black clothes and a mask walking past her. She stood frozen and in shock, according to the court documents. The roommate said that she did not recognize the man, who she stated walked towards the house's sliding glass door. In a description that was noted in the affidavit, he's described as a 5'10" or taller, not very muscular, but athletically built with bushy eyebrows. Then at around 4:17, a security camera that was less than 50 feet from Kernodle's room picked up sounds of a barking dog and distorted audio of what sounded like voices or a whimper followed by a loud thud, this according to the documents. Then on November 13th, that morning, later in the morning, after the sun had rose, the two roommates called friends over to their house because they thought one of the victims, although they did not know anyone was a victim at this moment in time, on the floor had passed out and was not waking up. Police said at about 11:58 a.m. a 911 call from one of the roommates' phones requested help for an unconscious person, police said. Keep in mind the victims were in their respective rooms. Responding officers then found the four victims. Authorities said they do not believe anyone at the house at the time of the 911 call was involved in the murders. There's been lots of speculation about what was going on at that moment in time. Many reports of some of the girls being hysterical, which obviously one would be if you discover you're thinking your friend has passed out, they drank too much, then to realize, oh my God, they've been stabbed and they are dead. That would lead almost anyone, I think, to break into hysterics. After the bodies were discovered, authorities reviewed surveillance video and saw the suspect's white Hyundai Elantra go by the victim's house three times before entering the area for a fourth time around 4:04 a.m. According to the documents, police say they traced the car's travel that night back to Pullman, Washington, which is where the accused killer, Brian Koberger, lived. Koberger's phone was tracked heading to Moscow before the attack, but the phone was off, suspiciously, from 2:47 a.m. to 4:48 a.m., which is consistent with Koberger attempting to conceal his location during the quadruple homicide according to the affidavit. He also returned to the area of the house where the four students were killed just after 9 a.m., about 5 hours after the murders. This is all based on the phone records and the affidavit. His phone was near the victim's house at least 12 times before the murders, at least as far back as August, according to the affidavit. All those times except for one were late at night or very early in the morning. And if you're going in new to this, as we're trying to create this episode for you, if you're wondering about the affidavit, want to see the affidavit, hear the affidavit, of course, you can find it online. Several episodes back, we read the entire affidavit start to finish. So if you look back at the timeline a little bit on our feed here, you can find that and listen to that affidavit word for word. It goes into even greater detail than what we're talking about here as we go through the timeline. On Thursday, November 17th, autopsies conducted. It determined that all the victims were stabbed multiple times, according to police. The four students were probably asleep when attacked, and some had defensive wounds, according to the police. There was no signs of sexual assault. The week begins on Monday, November 21st, with everyone reeling from this senseless tragedy that took place. The family of 20-year-old victim Ethan Chapin had a memorial on the 21st. Chapin, who's a triplet, was born right before his sister and brother, who also attended the University of Idaho. Chapin was one of the most incredible people you'll ever know, according to his mother, Stacy Chapin. She said that to reporters before the memorial service. The 20-year-old lived his best life at college, according to his obituary. He laughed continuously. He smiled when he woke up and was still smiling when he went to bed. He was kind to all and a friend to all, according to the obituary. Further in, November 28th, in an interview, Gonzalez's father, Steve Gonzalez, told ABC News that the students died quickly and did not bleed for hours, so an earlier 911 call would have not saved their lives. He said nobody suffered and nobody felt like that kind of pain, Steve Gonzalez had said. The grieving dad said he's still feeling a little defeated and frustrated by the lack of transparency from police at that time, but still supports and trusts the law enforcement officers who are diligently working on the investigation, saying, I hope to assume and hope that this all is part of their plan and they've got this all figured out, he said. I know that there's some really good, hardworking guys and girls that are on this case that I've met, and they looked me in the eye. They told me straight out that they're working and they're doing everything in their power. Tuesday, November 29th, Moscow police asked authorities to look out for white Elantras. One of the first times they've asked the public's help in the case. Then on November 29th, a Washington State University police officer searched cars that matched that description at the university and found one registered to Koberger. This according to the affidavit and not something that the general public knew on November 29th. Grieving families, classmates gathered at the University of Idaho on November 30th for a candlelight vigil. Ethan Chapin's mother, Stacy Chapin, cried as she told the mourners, we are eternally grateful that we spent so much time with them. That's the most important message that we have for you and your families. To make sure that you spend as much time as possible with those people, because time is precious and it's something you can't get back. Madison Mogan's dad, Ben Mogan, said his only child was a hard worker, nice to everybody, smart, funny, and beautiful. Kelly Gonzalez and Madison Mogan, inseparable best friends since sixth grade, died together in the same room, in the same bed, Steve Gonzalez said at the vigil. Then Wednesday, December 7th came around. Police announced to the public that they were looking to speak with the driver of the white 2011-2013 Hyundai Elantra that was seen in the immediate area of the victim's house early on November 13th. Anyone was with information on the car was asked to contact the tip line. The one-month mark came on Tuesday, December 13th, and frustration had been growing amongst the public and with loved ones. Moscow Police Chief Captain Roger Lanier said police are closely guarding the information that we've discovered at the scene and our investigative information because we want to protect the integrity of our investigation. But he promised the investigation is not cold. We get tips every day that are viable. Those tips help us do everything from clear people to further some of the theories that we're working on. He said in a video statement, eventually we're going to narrow in on exactly what happened and who did it. Then, as police in Idaho searched for answers, Koberger was stopped by an Indiana police officer on December 15th for traffic violations. This is information, again, that was not known on December 15th to the public. This was revealed in the affidavit later. After Koberger's semester at Washington State ended in December, he and his father drove across the country together to the family's Pennsylvania home. His attorney, Monroe County Chief Public Defender Jason LeBar, had told ABC News, they drove the pre-planned road trip in the white Hyundai Elantra that authorities said they were looking for in connection to the murders, according to LeBar. Koberger and his father were stopped twice on December 15th while driving east of Indianapolis, both times with the younger Koberger in the driver's seat. They were first stopped by the Hancock County Sheriff's Office for speeding, and then 9 minutes later by the Indiana State Police for following another vehicle too closely, according to officials. After Koberger's arrest, the Sheriff's Department and State Police said that there was no information at the time on the suspect in the Idaho crimes or specific information on the white Hyundai Elantra. State Trooper adding, the trooper, having learned the two had been stopped minutes before by the deputy from the Hancock County Sheriff's Department, who he knew was working just down the interstate from him, used his discretion and released the two men with a verbal warning. We speculated throughout this case that the trooper and the deputy had actually been instructed to pull them over by the FBI. The FBI has since denied those allegations. On Tuesday, December 27th, authorities said DNA from the suspect was recovered on a knife sheath left on the victim's bed, according to the documents. On December 27th, the police then recovered trash from Koberger's parents' house in Pennsylvania, and a lab determined the DNA from the trash was the father of the person who left DNA on the knife sheath, the affidavit said. Now, what does that mean exactly? It means they found Koberger's DNA on part of the knife, the sheath to the knife that was left at the crime scene. Rather careless on the part of Koberger, if in fact he is the person who did this. That DNA was then genetically matched to his father. The FBI digging in the trash, finding something in that trash, getting his DNA, the father's DNA, and it came up as a 99.9996% match that this was the father of the person whose DNA was on the knife sheath. Very, very positive. Friday, December 30th, Koberger was arrested in Pennsylvania's Pocono Mountains in the early hours of December 30th. Police finally moved in. They felt they had enough to make the arrest. The family of Gonzalez told ABC News that they don't know Koberger and are happy, relieved, and thankful that there's been an arrest. Moscow Police Chief James Fry said no arrest will ever bring back these young students. However, we do believe justice will be found throughout the criminal process. Just yesterday, through the attorney of the Gonzalez family, they again restated that they did not know Koberger and had no knowledge of how they are connected. That's a connection, as of this recording, that we do not know much about. On Tuesday, January 3rd, Koberger, who was just arrested on those four counts of first-degree murder and burglary, agreed to be extradited to Idaho during his January 3rd court appearance in Monroe County, Pennsylvania. LeBar said in a statement that his client, LeBar the attorney, is eager to be exonerated of these charges and looks forward to resolving these matters as promptly as possible. Then on January 4th, Koberger was extradited from Pennsylvania back to Idaho. Idaho State Court then was able to release the never-before-seen documents, the probable cause affidavit. They could not release it earlier because Idaho state law does not allow for that to be released until the suspect is in custody in Idaho. And that's the affidavit I mentioned earlier. You can go back and listen to it several episodes back around January 5th. As Koberger made his first court appearance in Moscow that same day, Kaylee Gonzalez's parents stared him down as he entered the courtroom in a bright orange jumpsuit and no shackles. Charges were read for the murders of each student. The judge in there saying each victim was stabbed and murdered with premeditation, with malice and forethought. Obviously a very emotional time in the courtroom for everyone as the children's names were read. The judge asked Koberger if he wants to represent himself or have a court-appointed attorney, and he calmly replied, I have court-appointed counsel. Koberger's next hearing is set for January 12th. If you're listening to this the day we're releasing it, that is tomorrow. Since that time, many others have come forward sharing their stories of interactions with Koberger as the picture continues to be painted of the personality of this individual, the alleged killer in this case. There's also been documents found online, postings on message boards that appear to be from Koberger. One of the most curious to me is dated from 2010 and 2011, which is a look into a younger version of Koberger struggling with disassociation and trying to understand the lack of emotion he was feeling at that time towards others and wondering how to get that back and why he was feeling that way all the way back in 2010 and 2011. More information obviously will continue to come out as the case develops. A gag order has been issued for the attorneys in the case, the defense, the police, anyone involved with the case itself in the court system. So we will not hear anything from them until this goes to trial, if indeed it does. I hope that gives you a little insight and gets you up to date on the basis of this case, where everything started and how it got us to where we are as of today. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any breaking updates on our case as we have them for you, as well as discussions. You can also get a commercial-free experience if you'd like that through Apple Podcasts. You can even get that for 3 days free if you'd like. My name is Tony Bruschi. You can follow me on Twitter at TonyBPod for more on this case off the air. Until next time, for all of us at True Crime Today and the University of Idaho Murders Podcast, thanks for listening.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's Essential Prenatal Multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless, unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapists provide specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's Essential Prenatal Multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.